All right, checking 1, 2, test, test, test. I hope everybody can hear me okay. Good evening, everyone. It's great to be here with you tonight and to see you here, and I hope that the thoughts shared will be a blessing to each and every one of you and that they'll be a blessing to anyone watching online as well. So if you have a Bible with you, could you please turn with me to Genesis chapter 1? Right to the start of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. We have quite a bit of scripture to read tonight, so bear with me. We're going to read the first chapter and then a couple verses into the second chapter. So Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together onto one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So we'll end our reading there for now. I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his words. But before we continue, let's just go before him in prayer once again. Heavenly Father, we come humbly before your throne of grace in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are so thankful for another opportunity to come here and gather, to remember what the Lord Jesus did for us as we just did, as he commanded with the cup and the bread, and now to come and to sit under the study of your word. Lord God, we thank you for your word, for the power of the words that you have given us, Lord, that the Holy Spirit can work through your word and speak to our hearts and convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, Lord. We thank you that your word is alive, piercing in even to the deepest parts of the heart, Lord, and that it can speak to us. We thank you that your word became flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to this world, lived a perfect life, and went to that cross willingly, dying there, shedding his precious blood. That the instant we put our faith and trust in what he has done for us and repent of our sins, we are made new. The old has passed away and all things have become new. So Father, pray that the Holy Spirit will work through the thoughts that will be shared this evening, that we would all be encouraged, we'd all be challenged, and we would be perhaps convicted as well too, Lord. And above all, that's your name and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up and exalted and glorified through the thoughts that will be shared. I pray that if there's anything said in error, that it would be quickly forgotten, and that it would not take root in the hearts of those that are here and in myself included, that only what is true to your word and true to your name would take root, Lord God. So we thank you for this time. Use it for your honor and for your glory. We ask and pray for all these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our God is so powerful, isn't he? I seriously don't think we will ever be able to fully grasp just how powerful God is in this life. I really don't think we will. But these verses that we just read in Genesis give us a little taste of his power. From verse to verse, we read about how God spoke, and then the world and everything in it, and all the universe for that matter, was created. He spoke, and then it came to pass. The voice of the Lord and the word of the Lord is responsible for the existence of all creation around us today. Psalm 33 and verse 6 reiterates this when it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." The Gospel of John, the New Testament, takes us even further in chapter 1. We're told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, everything was made. Yes, God the Father created all things, but it was also through God the Son and God the Holy Spirit that they were created. Great is the power of the Lord our God. Psalm 21 verse 13 says, "Be thou exalted, O Lord, in thine own strength." So will we sing and praise your power. Amen to that. But everyone, as awesome as the creation of the world is, that's not what I'm going to be focusing on tonight, believe it or not. Instead, Lord willing, we're going to look at the verses that we just read in Genesis through the eyes of another verse in the New Testament. So keeping your finger in Genesis chapter 1, because we'll be going back there shortly, turn with me quickly to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read a verse here that will be the theme for the thoughts that will be shared tonight by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The ESV also translates the verse like this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come." I really love this verse, folks, because it sums up so perfectly what happens whenever someone first becomes a born-again Christian. The old has passed away, and the new has come. When you come to the Lord in repentance of your sins, and you confess them before him and ask for forgiveness, you're made new. You who once were dead in your sins are immediately raised to new life again. You are a new creation in the eyes of the Lord. And thus the Lord begins a new work in you, to mold you and shape you more and more and more into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And how is all this even possible? Verse 18 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 also tells us that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, the very reason that you are able to be born again is all because of Jesus. It's all because of his finished work on the cross that you're able to be reconciled to the Lord and thus become a new creation in his eyes. So with this truth in mind of a believer being considered a new creation, we're going to take a look at the verses we just read back in Genesis. And with 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 in mind, we're going to see how the creation of the world around us, as told in Genesis, is also a neat little picture of what happens to you when you first become saved. And it's also a picture of what happens to you as you walk with the Lord and as you grow as a Christian. So let's go back there, Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at the first stage of the creation of the world as told in verse 1 and the first half of verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1. So again, we're told here, in the beginning, the Lord created the heaven and the earth, but the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So this is where everything began, folks. This is where time began. In the beginning, it says here. This is also where everything around us began. The world was made by the word of God, but we're told there was no form to it at first, was there? Not only did it have no form, it was also void. Or in other words, it was empty. There wasn't much to it at the start of it just yet. So if I was to give a title to the first stage of the creation, it would be simply Without Form and Void. And believe it or not, this is pretty much how things started for you as well. Just like when the Lord first created the heavens and the earth, he also shaped you in your mother's womb at the time of conception. And when you were first created in that secret place, you too were without form and void at the very start, with darkness all around you and upon you. And of course, you were also surrounded by water as well, being in the womb. Psalm 139 verses 15 to 16 remind us of this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So when you were first conceived in your mother's womb, you had no form at first and were surrounded by darkness in a physical sense. But not only that, even after you were physically born, you still were without form and void and walking in darkness in the eyes of God in a spiritual sense. You may have a physical life, but in the eyes of God, you're spiritually dead. You have no form. Why? Because of sin. Ephesians 2 says that you were spiritually dead in your trespasses and sin. You may be alive physically, but in God's eyes, you are dead spiritually, guilty and condemned because of your sins. It's sin that keeps you without form and void in the eyes of God. And if you are saved, brothers and sisters, as you sit here this evening, remember that it's also sin that keeps you from taking shape in the eyes of God. Like clay resisting the potter's hands. But if you're here tonight and you are not saved, you're not in a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus, then let me tell you, as you sit here, being without form and void in the eyes of God, that is not what he desires for you. That is not what he wants for you. He does not want you to spend all of your days walking in darkness, being without form and void spiritually because of sin. That is not what you were created for. But the sad reality is that much like the earth could never have created itself on its own until the Lord spoke, you too cannot change your state before God on your own. You can't give yourself a form in his eyes, and you can't fill the void in yourself with enough to cancel the weight of your sins. You need help. You need assistance. Something needs to happen. And if nothing else had happened in Genesis chapter 1, then the earth would have stayed without form and void, wouldn't it? But praise the Lord, something did happen in Genesis chapter 1. We're told what that was starting in the last half of verse 2 up to verse 8, which brings us to the second stage of the new creation. And this one has two parts to it. The first part begins in the last section of verse 2, which tells us that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters of the unformed and void earth. And brothers and sisters, that's what happened to you just before you were saved. the Spirit of God began to move upon you. He began to speak to your heart. And maybe this is happening to you right now as you sit here tonight. Because awareness of sin and understanding of guilt before God only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit working upon you, moving upon the face of the waters of your life, as it were. And much like how the creation of the world could not have continued until the Spirit of God moved and He Himself spoke, the Lord is the only one who could bring a form to that which was unformed. He's the only one who can fill up that which was void. He's the only one who can bring to life that which was dead. So again, if you're here tonight and don't believe, you too are without form and void in the sight of God. But as you sit here, perhaps you can sense His Spirit moving upon the face of the waters of your life, speaking to your heart, tugging at your heart, whispering to you, calling you to come to Him. If so, don't ignore Him. Listen to His voice and come to Him for forgiveness and salvation before it is too late. Before it's too late. Okay, so now that the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the dark waters of the earth that is without form and void, what happens next? Well, we are told that the Lord spoke out loud in verse 3, and He said this all-important and very powerful phrase, "Let there be light." Let there be light, and what do you know? There was light. So at this very moment in darkness, the earth that was once, at this very moment in Genesis, excuse me, the earth that was once covered by darkness has now been exposed to the light for the very first time. And when the Lord looked upon this light that He created, He saw that it was good, as verse 4 says. And to you sitting here tonight, He can accomplish this in your life too. When you come to Him in repentance and for forgiveness of sins, and when you actually become born again, it will be as if the Lord had spoken this very same phrase to you personally, "Let there be light." And this is exactly what happens to the sinner when they are saved. Light comes to their dark heart. They pass from the darkness into light. And when that happens, your Father in heaven will look upon the light that is now shining on you and in your heart, and He will proclaim that it is good. It is good. Why? Because a soul has repented and has now been saved and redeemed, and the Lord will rejoice in heaven. There will be rejoicing in heaven when that happens. Jesus Himself said in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ." So the very instant that you are first saved is pictured right here in verse 3 of chapter 1. "Let there be light," the Lord says. And there was light. There was light. So, what comes next in the creation of the world? And also in the new creation that is you. What's the second part of this stage? Verses 6 to 8 we come to now. So at this point, it looks like the earth was still completely covered by a thick layer of water, both on and above the surface. Perhaps there was a heavy vapor of water right above the surface, for example. But regardless, we're told that the next thing that the Lord does is He creates a firmament. Or in other words, the Lord creates the sky right above the surface of the waters of the earth. And God calls this firmament heaven. Not the heaven where He dwells, of course, but the heaven where the birds will fly, as verse 20 in this chapter tells us. It's the sky right above the surface of the waters. And you know, as I read this little section here about God creating the sky and separating the waters, while also thinking about the believer being considered a new creation, this little section here reminded me of how when you're first saved, it's like the sky clearing or appearing for the first time in your life, isn't it? Your eyes are opened. The fog of sin and the distractions of the world are lifted from your vision. The fog of sin that covered your vision for so long is lifted. You can see things clearly for the first time. You who once were blind can now see for the first time. And not only that, as you grow in your walk with Christ, you will gradually begin to understand Him more and more, to learn more and more about what it means to follow Him. So overall, while the first stage of the creation was without form and void, the second stage of the creation, I would call it the light comes and the sky appears. The light comes and the sky appears, which is talked about in verses 2 to verse 8. So yeah, the fog is lifted, and with that in mind, now we quickly come to the next stage of the creation, which takes place in verses 9 to 10 here, where the Lord creates the dry land and the seas. And He specifically calls the dry land earth in verse 10. Now remember, at the start of this chapter, the earth was without form and void, right? But that's starting to change now, isn't it? At this point, although it is still empty, the earth is taking form. The dry land is appearing. All the water that once covered the planet is now being separated from the dry land, and it's been called seas. So this stage of the creation would be called the earth forms. And much like this stage of the creation, when you are first saved, something similar happens to you, doesn't it? First light comes to your heart, as we talked about. Then the fog is lifted and the sky appears. But next, what was old becomes new in the eyes of God right at that moment, like we talked about earlier, doesn't it? What was without form begins to take form. It takes on a form. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 2 even tell us, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Everyone, it's here where the new creation begins. It's here when you're brought to new life again. The new child of God through Christ Jesus takes the place of the old child of the devil. You finally take on a living and breathing form in the eyes of God. You're brought to life. And His work in you finally begins to start. But it's not done yet, of course, because this work is going to take time, as we will see very soon. So, to recap what we've seen so far with the creation of the world also being a picture of salvation and growth in Christ, we've looked at three stages to the new creation so far. Number one, without form and void, verses 1 to 2. Number two, the light comes and the sky appears, verses 2 to 8. And number three, the earth forms, verses 9 to 10. So again, much like the earth, you too were originally without form and void in the eyes of God, and darkness was upon you. But when then you come to Him for salvation and are born again, and when that happens, multiple things take place. First comes the light, then the sky appears, then you take on a living and breathing form in the eyes of God, but you are still a babe in Christ, aren't you? You're still verily newly saved. You're still verily newly born. And with that in mind, let's go on to the next stage of the creation. Verses 11 to 13 here. So right after the earth has taken on a form here, now the Lord does something to rectify its emptiness, doesn't He? We're told next that He creates grass, herbs, and fruit. So at His command, empty fields and barren valleys become filled with trees, flowers, plants, fruits, and herbs. The Lord creates nature in what was once an empty and void earth. And we're also told in verse 12 that when the Lord looks upon all the growth that's taken place on this earth, He declares that it too is good, doesn't He? So title for this stage of the creation, bearing fruit is what I would call it, bearing fruit. And indeed, going back to the Christian being considered a new creation, this is the stage where we get to another important aspect, bearing fruit. Because as a newly saved Christian, much like the earth when it was first formed, you too start off in those first few moments without any growth or any fruit just yet, do you? You're still newly saved. But over time, as you increase in your knowledge of Jesus and who He is, and as you start living your life for Him, you will start showing fruit in your own life, won't you? In other words, there will be evidence in your life that you have indeed been made new through Christ Jesus. You'll start doing good works. You will share Christ with others. You will have a desire to be holy as He is holy. Your life will gradually begin to reflect Christ Jesus more and more as the Spirit of God continues to move and work in you. And speaking of which, much like the earth could not bring forth grass, herbs, and fruit until the Lord commanded and enabled that to happen in verses 11 and 12, it's the same with you here. Because as a believer, the Lord does command the same thing, that you bear fruit as a Christian, of course. But he doesn't just command it and then leave you to do it all by yourself. No. The amazing thing is that He also enables you to bear fruit by the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Much like He enabled the earth to do this in Genesis. The Lord commands you to bear fruit as a Christian, yes, and He also gives you the power and the ability to do so by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 15 and verse 8, "Herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be My disciples." Verse 16 of the same chapter, "You have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it to you." So born again Christian, as you sit here this evening, this is what the Lord desires and commands of you, that you bring forth much fruit, much like the earth did after it took on a form in Genesis chapter 1. And when the Lord sees the fruit in your life, He will say the same thing that He said about the earth in verse 12 here, that it is good. That it is good. Time flies. All right. Next stage of the new creation, verses 14 to 25. There's quite a bit here, but there are two parts to this stage as well, but they both share a similar theme as we will see next. So, for the first part, on the fourth day, we're told the Lord creates the sun and the moon and the stars, which will be used for signs, seasons, days, and years, and we're also told that He places them in the sky that He created on the second day. So while the Lord created just light itself on the first day, now He creates some physical sources for that light, doesn't He, on this day? Such as the sun, which will be the greater light to rule the day, and the moon, which will be the lesser light to rule the night. And these lights will, of course, divide the light from the darkness as well. And indeed, as you grow as a believer, and as you walk with Christ, the Lord will also give you more and more light by the power of the Holy Spirit, won't you? You'll be able to discern light from darkness around you. You'll be able to discern right from wrong more and more as a Christian. And of course, as a Christian, and as you walk with Christ, and as you grow, there will be seasons of great light in your life, won't they? Much like the day. And there will also be seasons of lesser light in your light during the night, as it were. But unlike this planet that we're on, which has the sun as its main source of light, your source of light as a believer is not the sun. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's not the sun, S-U-N. It's the sun, S-O-N. Isn't it? John chapter 8 and verse 12 has the Lord Jesus say this, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light." Let's not forget, folks, that when the Lord brought light to this planet in Genesis for the first time, He never completely destroyed the darkness, did He? We're told multiple times that He divided the light from the darkness. So at this time in Genesis, darkness did still exist. And as a believer, there will be times when you will experience some darkness as you go through this life, too. You'll experience some hard times. But the promise of John chapter 8 and verse 12 still applies here and is still true. If you follow Christ, you will not walk in darkness. Or in other words, there may be darkness around you, yeah, but you will always have the light of Christ with you and in you, and that will never change. That will never change, no matter what. Because whether you are experiencing lots of light during the good times, as if it were daytime, or you're experiencing times of lesser light during the hard times, as if it were nighttime, your source of light is still the same. It's the Son of God Himself, the Lord Jesus, and His light cannot and will not ever go out. And much like He is your source of light, He's the source of your light, you too are called to reflect the light that He gives you to the world around you, aren't you? It's amazing that the Lord created both the sun and the moon to be the lights of the earth, yeah, but the main source of light is still just the sun, right? Because the moon reflects the light that the sun gives during times of nighttime. And as a believer, you're called to be the moon to the Son of God, to reflect the light that the Lord Jesus gives you to this dark world around you, even as the moon reflects the light that the sun gives to this planet during the night. So praise His name for that. All right, moving on, next part to this stage of the creation, the new creation, verses 20 to 25 here. And this is where the Lord creates every moving creature that has life, doesn't He? From the fish to the birds to the cattle to the insects. The Lord creates the birds and the fish from the water and the cattle and the beasts and the insects from the earth. But one thing that I really love here in this little section is that in verses 20 and 21, the Lord speaks to the waters, and we're told the waters brought forth abundantly. And I love that word abundantly that's used in the King James here. Because seeing that word abundantly here in these verses reminded me of John chapter 10 and verse 10, where the Lord Jesus says that He has come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And truly, as time goes on in your walk with Christ and as you grow, you too will experience blessing in your life, won't you? You'll experience blessing. Now keep in mind, what you define as a blessing may be totally different than what the Lord defines as a blessing to you. Because as you walk with Christ and grow in your relationship with Him, blessings will come, yes, during the joyful times and also during the hard times. And for that matter, after enduring the hard times and looking back, you might find that going through those hard times was actually a blessing in a sense. Or it resulted in blessing in a sense too, just as much as the joyful times are. But regardless, as you walk with the Lord in both trust and obedience, He will bless you. And as He blesses you, you are called to bless others, as 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says. And much like the animals and the fish and all these creatures were given life at this stage of the creation, you too will see life all around you as a new creation, won't you? You'll see life when the Lord saves someone you know. You'll see life in fellowship with other believers as you gather. You'll see life in God's Word as you read it and meditate on it. Life will be everywhere. And of course, don't forget, life is in you as well, too. So as you grow in Christ, you'll experience seasons of blessing and seasons of trials, but those trials could become blessings as well. But you'll also see life as time goes on. So overall, for this next stage of the creation, I would call it the seasons stage. The season stage, because this is where time passes and you grow as a new creation. This is where you go through times of daylight and nighttime. This is where the blessings of God start being poured out upon you as time goes on. And it's pictured here in this day where the Lord creates all these creatures that are going to fill this planet that was once empty and void. Okay. So now, brothers and sisters, we come to the final two stages of the new creation that we're going to look at tonight. And these are found in verses 26 to 31 of chapter 1. And of course, those first three verses in chapter 2. We have the final two stages of the new creation. And what's amazing is we've seen the beginning of your salvation. We've seen the growth during your salvation. And now we're going to start seeing the end result of your salvation right here. Because in these verses, we're told, first off, that the Lord finally creates man in His own image, doesn't He? And after His likeness. And that right there is exactly what the Lord desires for each of you as a believer today. that you would be created in his image. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Much like when he created man in his own image here in Genesis, the Lord's desire is that you would be conformed to and become more and more like his son, Christ Jesus, who is, as Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 says, and as Hebrews chapters 1 says, which we just talked about in the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the express image of his person. And the Lord's desire for the new creation in you is that you would be made in the image of Christ. You would be created and conformed to the image of Christ. So the title that I would give to the second last stage of the creation here that goes from verse 26 to verse 31 would be made in his image. Created, made in his image. Because if we become more like Jesus, we thus become more like God. And that will be the end result of your salvation. When he finally finishes the work that he started in you, the very instant that he said, let there be light in your life. Your sanctification will be complete. You will finally have become like Christ. And this will only happen, of course, once you have finished the race and you pass into eternity to be with him forever, and his work is accomplished, which amazingly is also pictured in the last stage of the new creation, which is talked about in verses 1 to 3 of chapter 2, where the Lord rests on the seventh day because the creation is finally finished. So he rests. And this resting that he does, here's a great picture of what eternity will look like for the new believer. Once the new creation that the Lord started in you is finished as well. And so, of course, the title that I would give to this last stage of the new creation would be the rest stage, which, of course, represents eternity. I tell you, the connections in God's Word are truly astounding, aren't they? You could spend your whole life reading the Word of God and find new connections every time between Old and New Testament and different books in the New and different books in the Old. How mind-blowing is it that the first few chapters in the Bible not only tell us how the world around us was created that we can see and touch, but it also serves as a great picture of what happens to you both right after you are saved and then as you grow and mature in Christ and then as your time comes to an end on this planet. The Word is alive. Folks, it truly is alive. So I'm going to recap quickly in closing how the creation of the world is a picture for the new creation in you as a believer. There were seven stages to the new creation that we looked at tonight. Number one, without form and void, which went from verse 1 to 2. Number two, the light comes and the sky appears, verses 2 to 8. And number three, the earth forms, verses 9 to 10. And number four, bearing fruit, verses 11 to 13, and number five, seasons, verses 14 to 25, and number six, created in his image, verses 26 to 31, and lastly, number seven, rest, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So you were originally without form and void in the eyes of God, and darkness was upon you at the very beginning. But then when you come to Christ Jesus for salvation and are born again, multiple things happen again. First, light comes to you for the first time. Then the fog is lifted and the sky appears for the first time. You become alive again. You take on a living and breathing form in the eyes of God. And then as time goes on, you will start bearing fruit. You will start experiencing seasons of daylight and nighttime in your life. You'll also see life all around you as a believer, along with the blessings of God during the daytimes and the night times until finally his work is done. You are made in the image of Christ, and then you enter into rest and eternity once his work in you is 100% complete. And I'll add these two final thoughts in closing. First, verse 28 of chapter 1 tells us that the Lord's first commandment to mankind after they were created was to do this: be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And born-again Christian, in a spiritual sense, this is what he wants for you as well as a new creation. To be fruitful, to have evidence of your salvation as we talked about, and to multiply, to share Christ with others so that they too will become saved and become new creations too. That's what he commands of us as believers. And secondly, there's another incredible truth found here in verse 31 at the end of Genesis chapter 1. When the Lord looked at everything that he had made in the end, he looked at everything, the creation he had made, he declared that it was not just good, but very good, didn't he? Very good, he said. So take comfort tonight, brothers and sisters in the faith, as you sit here, because what he said in verse 31 is also the case when he looks at you and he sees the work that he's doing in your life. And that will also be what he sees once the work in you is finished and you finish the race. He'll see not just a good work, but a very good work. A very good work. So be encouraged. The work may take time, but the end result will be very good in the eyes of the Lord. So praise his name for what he has done for us and what he does for us every day. That's all my thoughts. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come humbly before your throne of grace in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for these verses here that we could look at. Thank you for the power of these verses and the power of your word to remind us of important truths, Lord. To remind us of what an incredible picture it is whenever you called us a new creation, Lord, in the New Testament. Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in us. We thank you that you brought light to that which was dark. You brought a form to that which was unformed. And you filled that which was void and empty. You canceled the debt of our sin, that infinite debt that we could never have hoped to have paid on our own. You canceled it the instant we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he paid that debt. He paid for that which was infinite and that what we never could have hoped to have accomplished and paid for ourselves in that one great offering on the cross. And because we've put our faith and trust in him, we are new creations in your eyes. And you are doing a work in us to conform us more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we will be like him. We will be like the one who redeemed us and rescued us and saved us, Lord. We praise you for that. I pray if there's anyone here who does not know you yet, who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ and is still without form and void, as it were, in your eyes. Father, I pray the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the waters of their life, even right now as they sit here or as they listen online. I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to their hearts, move in their hearts, draw them to you, that they would come to you for salvation and repentance, and that at the instant that happens, you would declare in their lives, let there be light, and the light of the gospel will come, the light of your word will come, the light of your Son will come to their lives and bring light to that which was dark and lift the fog of sin from their eyes, and they'll be able to see clearly for the first time. Their eyes will be opened, and that which was blind will be able to see, Lord. And for those of us here who are saved, we thank you, Lord, for that time in our own lives when that happened, Lord, when light came to our lives for the very first time. And I pray for endurance. I pray for strength. I pray for patience for each one here that is a believer as the work in their lives continues. Maybe they're experiencing a day of night right now. I pray for the strength to go through it and to remember the promise that you made, that you are the light of the world and that the source of light for them is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that light will shine no matter how dark it gets around them, Lord God, just like the moon shines on this planet, no matter how dark it gets, Lord God. So we thank you for this time that we could come and gather together like this. And I pray that you take us all home in safety. And just thank you for this time. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.